Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
Freemasons Podcast with your host, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry. I'm up here Sunday morning giving you your Masonic sermon. Today we're going to be covering episode 234, Portugal's Initiation Well. I can't really take credit for this. This was something that I had no idea about, actually. There's a podcast that I follow called Ancient Theorists Theorizing. They got some good stuff. If you ever get a chance, go over there and check them out. They got some good stuff, particularly the Mystery of Lisa Lamb episode is pretty good. Definitely check them out. How you doing, Josh? they're a good episode, and they're a good show. And I follow them on Instagram, and one of the guys who's part of that podcast actually went over to Portugal, and he posted something on his storyline for the ancient alien theorist theorizing. About an initiatic well. I had never heard of this place before, but it's called the Initiation Well at Quinta de Regularia near Sinta, Portugal. Doing my best to do Portuguese. I apologize. What they had written on there was a Freemason, he wrote something about Freemason ritual or something, and I chimed in, you know, trying to give some information as best I know. And again, I've never been there. I didn't know much about it, but for me, this wasn't Masonic, but I figured, hey, from my end, let's dive into it. Let's see if something is Masonic, if it is potentially Masonic, and we'll come up with an idea on whether or not it is. But first, let me see if I have any housewarming or housekeeping stuff I need to do. Happy birthday to Worship Brother Joe Zanino. He turned the big 5-0 today, so he's probably recovering probably from a late last night. I know Ken is, because Ken went to Beer Fest at Mohegan Sun last night. And, yeah, you all know how that goes. Neither one of them up here today, so it's just little old me, which means this morning I got the poop at the door open. Anyway, I don't have anything for housekeeping material, so actually, I do have one thing I want to do. I was asked if I can give a shout out to someone, and that'd be Brandon Harder. He's a Patreon and he had said, hey man, he's like, you know, I love the show. You know, I'd love to have a shout out. So here you go, Brandon Harder. Here's your shout out, brother. All right, let's get into this then. While we're at it, this is the Initiation Well again in Portugal, and the story goes off, and it's actually quite. Let me put this up here so you guys can see it. Starting to not need Ken anymore because I'm doing a hell of a job with seeing what the hell I'm putting up here. So I'm hoping that what I just did, put the image up there. Yeah, it did. Damn, I'm good. Getting good at this computer shit. But that's the well right there. That's the Initiation Well. And again, that's in Portugal. You can see it. It's got a flight of winding stairs, which I guess could be presented as Masonic. We'll get into it. Let's start here. This is an 88-foot deep well that is located on the land of Quinta de Regularia near the town of Sintra, Portugal. I feel like I'm freaking, what's his name, in Inglourious Basterds, Brad Pitt, when he's trying, he's like, oh, you speak Italian. He's like, arrivederci. That's how I sound like when I'm doing other languages and trying to say things. It's like, Arrivederci, buongiorno. Anyway, the well was never used as a well. In fact, was never built to serve as water source at all. It was built in for secret ceremonial purposes, and this is in a palace. If you again, you can Google search these images. I'm just kind of showing you the. I'm just showing you what the well looks like, but this is actually inside a palace, as seen from the bridge over the lower gate. This is a picture of the palace. It's quite impressive. The owner of Quinta de Regularia, the wealthy Portuguese businessman Antonio Gusto son of a bitch. I know I'm going to get shit for this, but Cavallaro Monterio was a well-known Freemason. Okay, I did not know he was a Freemason. I will definitely check into it. With the assistance of the Italian architect Luigi Manini, he designed and constructed a 4-hectare property with enigmatic symbols, enigmatic buildings, mysterious parks, and underground tunnels. Interesting. All of the structures erected at Quinta de Regularia are filled with many symbols which are linked to masonry, alchemy, the Rosicrucian, Hermetic legacy, the Knights Templar, and tarot mysticism. Okay. The Quinta de Regularia, oh, Christ, I wish they'd stop you saying that, is known as the Palace of Monterio the Millionaire. Built in 1904, the pearl of the estate, without a doubt, is the palace. Yeah, I'm not going to look up an image here. You guys can look it up if you want. The grand residence has 5 floors and a Gothic facade with carved and decorated gargoyles and other Gothic ornaments. The construction was an impressive estate. The construction of the impressive estate lasted over 6 years. After the death of Monterio, the property was bought by Waldemar de Orey. The family owned it until 1987. It was sold to a Japanese corporation. They kept the estate closed to the public for 10 years. In 1997, the local authorities purchased it, and after a restoration, 1988, it was open to the public for visits. The estate's park also contained large garden and extensive and puzzling system of tunnels, which have numerous entrances constructed in different styles. Grottos, as well as chapel, can be seen. Also, the waterfall lake, Lidus Cave, which lies under the tower. The initiation well, in some ways, an entrance to the underground labyrinth, too. It is connected to other entrances via secret and of the series of underground walkways. The initiation well has a striking spiral staircase supported by carved columns leading down to the bottom of the well. It's 9 landings. It is believed that the spacing of these landings, as well as the number of the steps in between, are linked to tarot mysticism and Masonic principles. Okay. I would love to know what the spacing is of the steps and how many steps. So, see, let me stop real quick here. The spacing of the steps might not necessarily be Masonic. We don't really follow the spacing of the steps. One of the things we do in the middle chamber, if you will, is we have a series of steps, which consisting of 3, 5, and 7. That's well known. Anybody can look that up on the internet. And the 3 are for the 3... They have different meanings. 3 degrees of Freemasonry, amongst other things. 5 is for the senses, and 7 is for the liberal arts. So I'm curious to know if these stairs are following that, or they're just talking about the spacing of the stairs, because I don't know, really know if the spacing matters. but anyway, at the bottom of the initiation well is the compass over the Knights. Well, is a compass over the Knights Templar cross, which is said to have been the coat of arms. A compass over the bottom of the initiation. I'm looking at it right now. I'm going to see if I can bring this up. I'm going to bring it up over on this computer, see if I can bring it up. But the compassing doesn't look to me like it's Masonic, but let's check it out. Check it out here. Let's see if I can do this. I'm kind of new at this. I'm not too good at images and stuff. So I'm going to check it out and see if I can bring it up the bottom. Here we go. Boom. Let's save this image. Index. All right, whatever. We'll call it whatever. Let's go over to OBX. Let's see if I can change this now. Give me a second, folks. I'm just trying to see if I can change this. Yeah, here we go. All right, I'm going to blow this up a little bit so you guys can see it. There we go. Boom. So this is the bottom of the stairs. You should be able to see it on your screen now if you guys are watching live. You can see. There we go. Yeah. So that's the bottom, and it's said to be the Knights Templar cross and a compass. It says a compass. The compass isn't I don't know what the hell you're saying. Josh McCray busting my balls here, talking. He's writing in Portuguese. Yeah, I don't know what the hell you're writing. But it's the compass itself is not a Masonic symbol. The actual points of the compass are not really Masonic. I would say the compasses are Masonic, obviously. But we don't see, and then the reason being is because in a Masonic lodge, we don't really follow one of the points of the compass. Our three major ones are the east, the west, and the south. So, Josh McCray, I don't speak Portuguese, but Spanish isn't too hard. You're doing good. Yeah, I'm trying like hell, man. I'm not too good with foreign languages. I do my best though. So getting back to this compass, yeah, there's one point of the compass that we don't follow, which is the north. We typically don't. We consider that the dark side of the force, if you will, of masonry. We don't follow the north, so I can't really say that the compass is a symbol of Freemasonry. I mean, some Masons may disagree, but I don't believe it is. The Templar cross, I am seeing inside of this, the bottom of this thing, I'm seeing a cross. It doesn't look Templar to me. And again, I've shown my tattoo on my arm a million times. The Templar cross is basically... I know it's hard to see on my arm here, but I got it right here. It's four points of a triangle. The tips of the triangles all pointed in. So it's four triangles pointed inward. This one, to me, if you look at the light part of the initiation floor, I don't know. It looks more like a Knight of St. John. It's not St. John. Knight of Jesus Christ, which came after the Knights Templar. Were they, in a sense, Templars? Yes, they just changed their name so they would avoid persecution. This is said to have been the coat of arms of Monterio, pointing at the association with Rosicrucianism. Rosicrucian, the Rosy Cross was a basic cross that how do I explain it? The Rosicrucian was a regular, the Rosicrucian symbol or cross was a regular cross, just your normal Christian cross. It just had a rose in the middle. So I don't know. And again, the nine small round landings separated by 15 steps. Yeah, see, they're separated by 15 steps. That's not very Masonic. Again, we talked about this. 3, 5, and 7. I don't even think that equals freaking 15. Again, I'm not doing math here, and I'm a jarhead. I eat crayons, so I don't know math. But it's separated by 15 steps. 15 is not a Masonic number. We all know that it's 3, 5, 7. You can go with 33. You can go with 32. That's basic, your basic Masonic numbers. 9 could even be considered a Masonic number. But 15, not really. As also evoke references to Dante's Divine Comedy. Excuse me. It may represent the 9 circles of hell, the 9 sections of purgatory, and the 9 skies of paradise. Okay, so let's talk about this one. Nowhere, anywhere in Freemasonry is the word hell discussed. Not in our ritual, not in any of the degrees. Hey, Josh, thanks for tuning in, man. Not in any of the degrees is hell ever referenced in Masonic ritual whatsoever. Masonic lore, anything. not hell's never brought up, not even the devil or anything else like that. So anybody who says that, you know, Freemasonry is Luciferian or devil worship or anything, find it in our ritual. I can tell you right now, you can go on even the Duncan's Monitor, which isn't really used by mainstream masonry. That we have, every Grand Lodge has its own ritual and everything, but it pretty much is the Duncan's ritual monitor, if we're being honest. Read it. You're never going to find hell or anything in there whatsoever. Now, it is discussed, I believe, in Manly P. Hall's, and I've never read the book before, but the Secret Teachings of All Ages. And I believe hell is also discussed in Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma. But understand, those aren't sanctioned ritual books. They're the writings of a Mason. Which, and again, Masonry isn't a dictatorship. It's not a totalitarian state. Any Mason can write any book about anything they want at any point in time. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's Luciferian. It's just one person's writing of their books. I mean, God, Dante's Inferno, or Divine Comedy. That could be considered Luciferian. I mean, he's talking about the nine circles of hell. He's talking about descending into hell. I've read it before. I've heard the story. It's about Dante, who's distraught about his wife dying. He descends into hell. I believe they reference suicide in it, but I'm not 100% sure. But he goes down to hell. He descends into hell, and then he makes his way out, basically, in a sense, is the best way I can explain it. But, I mean, that book, that could have been controversial. I mean, it still be controversial. I'm sure it was controversial back in its day. Moving on. The initiation well looks like an inverted tower, and depending on the direction the adept chooses to walk, it represents a journey into the depths of Mother Earth or the rise up into the light. Symbolically, the well represents the death and rebirth allegory. Okay. Typical within many mystical traditions. The journey through the well is like a rebirth through the Mother Earth's womb. Okay, let's break this one down. We talk about rising to the light in Freemasonry. So that one I can get on board with, okay? We in Freemasonry don't ever talk really in our ritual about journeying into the depths, with the exception of one degree in the Royal Arch, which is talking about descending into King Solomon's mine to find an item. And the other thing is the Chamber of Reflection, which we have the vitriol thing. So the Chamber of Reflection could be a quote-unquote descent, if you will. But understand that the Chamber of Reflection is not a... it's not a sanctioned thing. Not every lodge has it. It's more of an extra to a lodge if a lodge does have it. And understand, many grand jurisdictions, and I can't speak for all of them, they don't allow chambers of reflections. It's not part of the ritual. They don't recognize it. Here in Connecticut, our Grand Lodge is pretty cool about it. They don't. They kind of let lodges, they give their own autonomy to do whatever. If they want to have one, they can have one. There's no rules against it. You know, we've had grandmasters come up here and look at the Chamber of Reflection. Actually, Most Worshipful Brother Marshall Robinson seen ours when he was grandmaster. He's like, and he basically said, that's creepy as shit. I'm never going in there. So, but he didn't care. It was really cool. Let's continue on. There's also a smaller well on the property, which has a straight staircase that connects a series of ring-shaped floors to one another. This well is called the Unfinished Well. The two wells are connected via the ground system of tunnels. A structure similar to these wells can be found in the Pozzo di Patrozzino in Italy. Okay, all right. Screwed up that Italian. On the property are also two artificial lakes and several fountains. Again, I'm not 100% seeing how that... The only connection I can make here, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here, is you have the finished well and the unfinished well. Not too much different than the rough and smooth ashlar. That's the only comparison I can make on these things. Masonry really doesn't mess with wells. We don't have anything to do with wells or holes or anything like that, with the exception of one hole you'll find out about in the third degree, but it's got nothing to do with this. In regards to wells. We don't really follow wells too often. Let's see here. There are no written records of how the wells were used and what precisely went on there, but it is obvious that great energy was put into their construction and planning. However, not knowing the answer allows us to enjoy the mysteries of these unique structures. And again, that's kind of the problem with this, is everything is very, I guess you could say, vague. Trying to see here if I can get here to, why can't I get to this? Okay, here we go. Everything is vague in a lot of these places. That's why they're a mystery. I'm going to go to another one here, another article here so I can read it. This is the problem, is there's no real definitive answer to this thing. And I'm just kind of looking at pictures here. I'm kind of just digging through pictures here, trying to see what is Masonic. And I'm having a hard time trying to find it. It's a subterranean tower that sinks 27 meters into the earth. Made essential by a monumental spiral staircase. Okay, so the spiral staircase, let's talk about that. I can get on board with the spiral staircase, talking about, if you want to compare it to King Solomon's temple, you know, in our ritual, we talk about how you ascend up a flight of winding stairs. Therein lies the problem, is that with this particular well, you're descending. Again, whether you're coming from the bottom or the top, it could be perceived. But we don't talk about descending into anything in Freemasonry. We talk about the ascent up a flight of winding stairs. So a well is a descent. If they called it the initiatic staircase or the initiation staircase or something like that, I could get it. And I understand. I don't know if that's what this guy named it, was the well, or if that was just something that was picked up later. But we talk about the ascent. So, and I'm also trying to find some of these images. They're talking about that there's Masonic symbolism and all that stuff. See, if I were a betting man, I'm wondering when this was actually. And actually, I'm going to go to Wikipedia now here, and I'm going to check this thing out because I'm curious when it was the initiation wells. Here we go. Boom. I'm trying to figure out when this was actually construction. Let's see here. The initiation wells. Yeah, this is all talking about, like, here we go. Let's get a date on this real quick. That's what I'm up to right here. And I think I said a date before, but I'm going to, 1890. Oh, it was sold in 1892. The family member was, when it was sold in 18. Okay. Monterio was eager to build a bewildering palace. He could collect symbols that reflected his interest in ideologies. Okay. In addition to the other features, let's see here. The construction of the current estate commenced in 1904, and much of it was complete in 1910. Okay, so Freemasonry was in its full swing at this point, because we were from the 1700s. So I could see that it would make sense that if there was, that if this guy was a Freemason, let's actually look him up, see if he's a Freemason or not. His name is Antonio Augusto Cavallaro Monterio. He was born 1848 and he died in 1920. He was a Brazilian Portuguese businessman, and it says he's a Freemason. So yeah, this guy was a Freemason for fact. Let's look into his history here, if we could find out when he was a Freemason, but. Again, this is the problem with when people say, oh, he was a Freemason. Where's your reference? So here's his tomb, though. Let's talk about this dude. This is a damn, he got a beard. He had the same, had this, Carvalho Monterio had the same architect who built the Palacio de Regalara. Luigi Menini built his tomb in Prazeres Cemetery. All right, so the guy who built his house also built his tomb. The door of the tomb, also encrusted with symbolism, was opened with the same key that opened the Palacio de Regalaria and his palace in Lisbon on the Rua do I hate that I can't speak other languages, or at least pronounce them. As visitors enter the cemetery grove, they encounter the tomb on the left with the orientation, size, and shape of a Masonic temple. Interesting. Oriented toward the east. It is covered in various symbols. The door knocker is engraved with a bee carrying a skull. Okay. The bee, which is diligent, hardworking, represents the Mason in his organized work. Yes and no. All right. So we have this symbol called the beehive in Freemasonry. We got the beehive. The beehive is a representative of industry and work. Be a hard worker. Be a good worker. Work your ass off, you know, because the harder you work, the better the reward. That's so, yes, I guess the bee in its sense could be. And I also got another article from another person who chimed into me, and it showed that Johnny Depp and Amber Heard had a bee on their ties or whatever, their suit ties or whatever they were wearing in court. See, this is the problem with symbolism, is that anybody can look at a symbol and say, that's got to be Masonic. That's got to be Masonic. And then write a whole freaking write a whole freaking article about it on the internet and say, oh, see, I told you they're Freemasons. No, it's what the hell? That's creepy. Siri is talking to me on my watch. It's a symbol for industry, but it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be Masonic. But in this case, this guy was a Mason. I would much rather see a correlation with the beehive. But again, you know, we're talking 1800s here, 1900s. The gradamento, which can be seen in the back of the tomb, is festooned with the symbolic wine and bread. Oh, yeah. Okay, this guy was definitely a Freemason, though. So when I said that the initiation temple, well, I wrote it to the guy who was at the ancient theorist theorizing, and I said it was not Masonic. All right, I'm going to have to eat crow here. I think some of the stuff that he did do is Masonic, but I think it was also tied in with a lot of other stuff, too. So I don't know if that well was used as initiation into Freemasonry, because if this guy was a true-to-life Mason, which is what I'm reading, this guy was a true-to-life Mason. And again, we're talking from, this thing was started in 1907. The Freemason ritual of initiation was already well underway. So our ritual of initiating people was already set in stone, in pretty much what it is today. So with that being said, I think this guy liked a lot of allegory, and he enjoyed a lot of making things on his own and being inventive. But I don't believe that the well is Masonic. This was his creation of his own mind about things that he enjoyed from a plethora of other secret societies, if you will, in ideologies. Because understand, not all the things that he was into were actually a secret society. They're an ideology, too. But if he's got the wine and bread, all right. So it's festooned with the symbolic wine and bread. Wine and bread is actually more synonymous with Christianity than it is with Masonry. Corn, wine, and oil would be more so of Freemasonry. Corn, wine, and oil represents plenty, health, and peace, and it's the wages of a Mason. The wine and bread, it's a little bit of an allusion to the 14th theory of Scottish Rite. However, it's only specific to that one degree and not so much Freemasonry as a whole. And it doesn't say anything about this guy being a Scottish Rite Mason, which at this point, Scottish Rite Masonry was already in the works. Albert Pike superseded this guy by a couple hundred years, I think, or maybe not, around the same time. but anyway, the wine and bread, the spirit, and the body. Yeah, Christianity. There are decorative owls symbolizing wisdom, as well as poppies, the symbol of eternal sleep. Okay. Poppies are not really Masonic, and neither is really the owl. That's more esoteric. That's more tarot cardish. I know Worshipful Brother Joe has one, I think, on his leg, which is an owl holding an hourglass or, I don't know, something. That's more the tarot line rather than the actual, than Freemasonry. It's more tarot cardish. Let's see here about this guy, Luigi Menini. Let's see if he was a Freemason. It doesn't say he was, but let's have a look. He was just an artist, man. He had a hell of a career, though. I'm reading all of his stuff, and you gotta look some. You guys can look this up on your own if you're interested in this guy, but it does not say that he was a Freemason. Usually it's the first thing on the page because that's what fucking Wikipedia likes to do, is they just, oh, he's a Freemason. He's crazy. But it doesn't look like he is a Freemason. Let's go back to this. I'm going to look at some images here on this initiation well. Let's look at some images, see what we can find here. So this is all the initiation well. This computer. Okay, I'm going to shut off the sound on it. All right, here we go. So looking at these columns here, that's what I want to address here. We're going to look into these columns here. And as a matter of fact, let me see if I can bring it up over here too. So I'm going to see if I can bring up an image of these columns. I'm actually going to get a good picture right here. We're going to save the image. Index. Yes. All right. So we're just going to switch this over. See if we can do this. Browse. Index. Yeah. All right. So here's the image. And I know, yes, it's somebody else's image, but we're going to be quick about this. If you look at these columns, to me, I have to get a better picture. This picture ain't too well. But this picture here is it's a bad one. Let's find a better one. It's licensable. Damn it. I'm going to get yelled at for that one. Let's try this one. Yeah. Here we go. This one should be a good one. So I'm going to focus in on this column over here on the left. If you're looking at the image right now on the show, you'll see the column on the left. It does give the impression of a a Corinthian, but it's not, because if you look at it, it's not a Corinthian column. It's actually got a whole different top to it. It's kind of almost like a boxy type thing. Which if you're going into Freemasonry and we're diving into this and we're talking about columns and stuff, which were brought up in the article, the three or four columns that Freemasonry has are the Doric, Ionic, and the Corinthian, and then there's the composite, which is another one. Those are really the columns that you would see in Freemasonry, and you know, we realistically, the only two columns we have are two. Two being the two columns that were outside of the King Solomon's Temple. But other than that, I'm not seeing any other columns. I'm not seeing these columns. And I'm not seeing these columns that are being known as Masonic. I'm not seeing them as well. But, I'm trying to look for... Okay, here we go. I got another image here of the actual castle of the outside, or the palace, if you will. And it's all in Gothic. Freemasonry, I'm not... We do have some Gothic things, but most of our lodges and that are decorated. They're mostly decorated in, well, at least let's talk about the New Haven one. The New Haven one here in Connecticut has three different lodge rooms, and they're basically called the Greek, the Roman, and the Egyptian rooms. The Egyptian room basically looks like Egypt, the inside of what you would imagine an Egyptian temple looks like. The other one is Greek and Roman, which follow, you know, that type of architectural building. There's not too many Gothic that I know of. I mean, you guys, you can say the only Gothic one that I would say is more Gothic than other lodges would be Ken's Lodge in Harmony 42. But understand that that was a church before it was a Masonic temple. So you can't really say that either. But so do I believe? So let's get to the brass tacks of this. Do I believe that this initiation well is Masonic? I do not believe that the initiation well is Masonic. I'm not seeing anything, even on this image here. You look at the little windows and the inlets that it has. They're windows of four different sizes and these little inlets that are in here. None of the stairs match up. The columns aren't right. It's talking about it's an initiation well rather than an ascent. It's even the depth of it, which I think what they said was 88 feet or 86 feet or something. Even the depth of it isn't right. I mean, if we're going to talk about things that are Masonic, even the George Washington Memorial, the height that it was set to, has its Masonic innuendos into it. But this, I'm not seeing anything of that nature. I think what this gentleman did, who was a Freemason, and much like we do here on the Freemasons podcast, we take different ideas of different beliefs and ideologies and groups, and we kind of we mesh them and see where they're the same or where they're different. I'm sure some of the symbology in this palace or on this property is Masonic. However, this well, I'm just not seeing it. I don't think it was used in any type of Masonic initiation. It doesn't fit the bill of a Masonic initiation. It's more esoteric. It's kind of a place where if let's put it this way, if I had the money, let's say I own this place, it would be a cool thing to take my brothers and be like, hey man, look what I made. I made a freaking well. It goes down 86 feet with a bunch of stairs and see all this cool shit on the walls. That's what I think it would be. And there a lot of, I mean, I wish Freemasonry did more of this, but Freemasonry is what it is. It's Freemasonry. And in the way that that Grand Lodges view it is, we don't want to do any innovations to Freemasonry to take away from its original craft or what it was originally meant to be and meant to be for. But I can see people wanting to be innovative and build on the degrees, look into deeper meaning, if you will, and build things such as a well that would enhance an experience about the esoteric and whatnot, and try to blend Freemasonry and other things with the same to try to find, again, we're all in the search for the light. That's what Freemasonry is all about. As for this being a Masonic actual used initiation ceremony part of our degrees, I'm going to go with a big no. That's not. I'm not seeing it that way. I don't believe that that's what this is. However, I mean, everyone's up for their own debate. I do got to give credit to the ancient theorists theorizing. Great picture. I hope you had a great time there. If anybody has any other further information on this, I will definitely revisit this. I've never seen this site before, so I'm kind of just going off of what my own research and belief is and what I know from my inside being a Freemason, that I'm not seeing anything that's Masonic in this. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I'm going to cut this a little short. It's Sunday morning. I'm trying to get the hell out of here. But I want to thank you guys all for tuning in and checking this out. For the Freemasons Podcast, I'm Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry, signing off. Have a good night, everyone.